You know what the spiciest take I've heard this week is?
What?
Austin Matthews is the greatest Leaf of all time. I mean, okay, put it this way. I think one day there's a chance he could be the greatest Leaf of all time. But I'm not sure if he's the greatest Leaf of all time today.
I mean, I kind of agree with you there. Like, he's only in his sixth season with the Leafs. Like, well, I guess the question would be, like, who is, like, the best Leaf ever? Would be the question, right? And how are you going to compare him to Matthews?
So, okay, this is why I hate this conversation. Because how do you compare him to, like a Johnny Bauer? Like, how do you compare a skater's body of work or a defenseman's body of work to a goalie? So I hate these. So, you know, when it's just like the NHL top 100 players of all time, I hate those lists because it's so hard to...
It's also different eras.
Yes, that too. Like, how do you compare those?
Well, I think, like, to me, like, if you're talking about, the, like for an organization, their all-time best player, like, I think key is, like, longevity with the franchise. And I think it's like you associate that player, or like it should be like every time you talk about that player, you think about the franchise, or every time you think about the franchise, you think of that player. So like to me, that's how I think. Yeah, that's how you would describe like an all-time player. And I think it's I agree with you. I think it's too early for Matthews, right? Like what if like in three years, he ends up signing a free agent contract with like Arizona? Then I don't think you would ever call Austin Matthews as the greatest Leaf ever then.
But like Anson brings a good point, right? Like I think what I appreciate more are those, like, you know, those tier lists where you have the S tier, A tier, B tier, those lists. Those I can deal with because you're just like, oh, Johnny Bauer's S tier, you know, Matthew is A tier, you know, like the tier list, because it's very hard to rank specific players, right? Like, because Anson brings a good point. You have the eras. And I think Dave Keon is one of those guys where it's one of the greatest Leafs of all time. He's S tier in my mind. But he's never scored more than 38 goals. But at the same time, it was in an era where scoring just wasn't that high in comparison with, you know, other players. Like, with now, right? Like, so I think that's really hard to consider. And then you also get to consider, hey, what about international play? Like, do you consider international play as part of a certain player's the greatest of all time? Like, does a gold medal, how does a gold medal value against a Stanley Cup? Like, do you value it more because it's, oh, you only get one gold medal every 4 years, but at the same time, it's like, well, you played for Canada. So, like, you know, it's not as hard in a way compared to, let's say, winning a Stanley Cup as an 8 seed as the LA Kings did, you know? Gotta prove the LA Kings anytime I can, but like, that's such a spicy take that I don't know if I can live with it.
I think it's a bit of a stretch. Like you said, it's just too early in his career, I think. It's like he's played 6 seasons, I want to say, roughly. You got other guys. Like, do you think he's better, or like in terms of like the all-time list, do you think he's like higher than Sundin?
I think when you're talking Sundin, like... You bring up Dave Keon as, I think most people would consider him as the all-time greatest Leaf. But I think you give it 10 years, and that switches over to Matt Sundin. Because I think, like, it's different eras, right? I think Dave Keon would be, like, say, our grandparents' era. And, you know, maybe our parents growing up would have seen them, right? But then you flash forward 10 years later, and then I think people think of Matt Sundin more as a quintessential Leaf. So... I think like Matthews is nowhere even close to Sundin right now.
Can you be the greatest player of your team of all time if you've never won a cup?
I think so. Did Dave Keon win a cup? I don't remember, actually.
I believe he won a few with the Leafs. He won 4 cups with the Leafs, I believe. I'm pretty sure.
Well, then I talked to our friends with Columbus, right? Does that mean that they'll never have an all-time best player because...
Like, well, no, sorry. You know what? You made a good point. Sorry, I should rephrase that. You're right. If you have a cup win, don't have a cup win in your organization, then, you know, you can choose whatever you want. But if you have a cup win, I think that contributes a lot. So it, like, so if your organization has no cup wins, then yeah, you're the greatest player all the time, doesn't have to be there. But if you have cup wins, I think that, you know.
So who's the all-time greatest king, Olsen?
See, the easy answer for me would be Ondřej Kopitar, right? But I don't think so. I think I'd put maybe Marcel Dion. No, yeah, Marcel Dion, maybe.
So between Marcel Dion and Luc Robitaille, how many Stanley Cups did they win with the Kings?
Zero.
So I think you kind of get my point about...
Yeah, no, like, I guess
winning really matter, or is it more of like how they, like who they were for your organization? And like, maybe it's not, like, obviously this be amazing both on the ice, but like, I think off the ice is just as important of like what they mean for a franchise. So like, Matthews, I think we're all in agreement, too early to tell, but I mean, like, if he stays with the Leafs the rest of his career and he continues performing at this current level, I could see him being, you know, the all-time, an all-time, like, most important Leaf player or whatever, whatever we're calling it.
I will put Matthews at A tier right now. I don't think he's S tier. I think S tier is reserved for guys like Keon, Sittler, Bauer, Sundin. Like, that level of player.
I guess hypothetically, let's just say like he stays his career and they don't win a cup, but he leaves for a couple of seasons. Do you still consider him like S tier, considering like everything that he's done? Like he continues on this trajectory and everything.
If he continues on this trajectory, Jeffrey made a good point. Like, I think you're right. I don't think you need to be, you don't have to win a cup to be the greatest of all time. I agree with you. Pretty good point. I think at this trajectory, yes, he's on the way to be S tier, but right now he's at A.
Is there anyone else on the current Leaf roster you think would be considered on the A tier, or anyone? I guess no one would be on the S tier, but is there anyone else you would think would be an A tier type of guy?
I think Marner can push high B, low A tier.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I think that Matthews is just such a clear level higher than Marner.
No, I was just...
What about interested. You, Jeffrey? We're going to ask you. You can't just be asking the questions.
Well, I was just thinking more of like... You would think eventually he would, because if they're like, if they end up being like attached at the hip forever, like I think you would assume like, okay, yeah, Matthews and Marner should both be A tier. So like if they remain together, yes, but at the same time, right? Like it's hard to tell. Like at the end of their contracts, right? They're both UFAs. We have no idea where they're gonna go. And you know, if they both leave the Leafs, you know, then like we wouldn't have this conversation at all. Like maybe they would still be considered like A tier even if they like, you know, leave the Leafs. But I don't know. It's kind of like one of those questions, like, especially when you have players who play for like two organizations for very long times, and you're like, who do you associate like a player with? If they've got like two like great organizations behind them, right? Like I'm trying to the most common one I think is like Roy Halladay in baseball. Like he didn't have a great like long career with the Phillies like he did with the Blue Jays, but like some people associate him more with the Phillies because he did more with the Phillies in the playoffs compared to when he was with the Jays. Like I'm just curious, like in a couple years will we still be talking about Matthews and Marner as all-time Leafs or all-time players for another organization?
I don't think Marner will be all-time. Even on his trajectory, I don't think he'll be all-time. Right? I think all-time players are at the A and S tier. But like I mentioned, right, he's going to be like very tight on the B to A tier. Right? So I don't think he'll be there.
Like you're saying that he's like Matthews on the way. Like let's just say all this. He's on the way to be the best. Marner's on his way, but you can kind of see the difference between the two players.
I need to put it this way. I think you can have this arc, if their trajectory would like continues the same as it is right now, you can have this conversation if Marner is one of the all-time greats when he retires, you're not having this conversation with Matthews because you already know. Does that make sense? Like, you're not having the argument because for Matthews, there is no argument. Marner, you're going to have one, you know, you're on the table at the bar, one guy saying yes, one guy saying no.
Yeah, there's more of an opinion for Marner, whereas a lot more people would be a majority for Matthews, per se.
Yeah. Jeffrey, what do you think?
Nope, I'm in complete agreement with you. And I want to wrap this up in saying, asking like a nice quick trivia question. Currently, Matthews, with 257 goals, where does he rank on the all-time leader list for Toronto?
I don't know.
I could say he's top 10.
Eight. I don't. I'm picking a random here. Let's go with eight.
I guess seven. Playing Price is Right then.
Oh, you prick.
Well, it ended up working the other way for you, Anson, because he's ninth right now.
And with that, let's start the show proper.
You're listening to the Bag of Pucks podcast, part of the National Podcast Network.
And we are back. So, I wasn't here last week, right?
I gotta ask, was that the first episode that you missed? Or was
I missed other episodes.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so I wasn't just losing my mind.
No, I missed other episodes. I'm just, you know, I don't miss many. Looking at you, Anson.
Yeah.
Okay, but I missed last week's episode, right? You two talked about a couple of trophies last week, right?
That's correct.
So, the next one that you guys haven't talked about was the Vezina. So, I'm just going to pretend I didn't miss last week's episode. I'm just going to continue going on here with this horrible transition.
Before we jump into the horrible transition, who are your picks?
Four.
The Hart and the Norris.
I think for the Hart... Honestly, I didn't listen to last week's episode, so it's been terrible. But Hart, Matthews, Norris. Did either of you pick Roman Josi?
That was my pick.
Jeffrey, what was your pick?
I didn't think we did picks last time. I think it was just more of a discussion. I don't know. I don't know why you're being singled out here.
It was less of a pick, but more of a, hey, I like Josi a lot more than I like Makar for this season.
Okay. Since there wasn't a pick, can someone explain to me why Makar is that much more favored? Like, I get it. Don't get me wrong. Elite defenseman. I'd say generational defenseman at some point. But I feel like it's Josi, and it's like not as close as people make it out to be.
I think you have to look at the markets, right? Colorado versus Nashville, plus the fact that like Nashville's kind of like it's not in the national spotlight in terms of, oh, they're having a great season, right? Like it's like I think that it was quite a bit of a surprise when we realized, oh shit, they're probably gonna be in the playoffs, right? Like I think a lot of people didn't have them that high up. We didn't think that they're gonna perform this well, right? So I think that's why Josi doesn't get as much fanfare as like a young, brilliant Makar. You know, Makar's also got like 20 something goals, I think, which kind of helps his case. That makes it sound like a lot better. But I do agree, like Josi probably has the better numbers. But I feel like if the vote were to come down today, like on who would win the Norris, I think the writers would for sure pick Josi. But I think like the general fans would be like, oh, you know, Makar is a, you know, the smooth skating, you know, fancy, young, exciting player, and Josi is more kind of lost in the limelight.
I think you make a good point where it's like, hey, they definitely is the market, but at the same time, dude, 87 points in 70 games. Like, for a forward, that would be considered elite. Right?
Yeah, and it's like we said, it's last month, like the March, Josi just turned it up. And I think that was when he really separated himself, at least in my opinion, from Makar in terms of like the Norris like standings. I think without Makar, I think that the Avs have a pretty good chance of still making the playoffs, still being competitive. But if you don't have Yossi, I think the Preds fall apart.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference for me. If you were like, hey, who would be the Norris winner? I think I would give it to Yossi, like, basically on that.
Nope. I think it's pretty good. But Hart, can I ask last week if there's any favored on specific players? Because, again, I didn't listen to it.
I think we said that, like, unless... Like, Matthews already scored, like, quite a bit of, like, ridiculous amount of goals. So I think he's pretty much got it. Like, Art, like, whoever wins the Art Ross has almost always won the Hart Trophy in the end. Unless, like, you had, like, 60-something goals like Ovechkin did, I think, in... I want to say 2012, or like he had a ridiculous goal season in 2012, 2013. But like even when I think when Stamkos scored 60 goals, like he still didn't win the Hart. Like I think it went to someone else. Like, so I think it was like, unless, you know, Matthews hits like 60 and, you know, like McDavid kind of tapers off a little bit, I think it goes to Matthews. But I think it's still hard to say. And like, especially like if Edmonton ends up in a freaking wild card spot somehow, like I think that's also going to affect, you know, like who wins the Hart.
So you bring up a good point earlier that I think it's pretty good to bring up again. So your point on Makar was that it was a larger market, right? How much of Matthews gets a boost because he broke the single season record on the largest market for hockey in the world?
I honestly think it didn't do much, to be honest. I think more it was like the 50 goals in 51 games, I think, is catching a little bit of attention. But I think like by the time we record next week, no one's going to be talking about Matthews breaking the Leafs record. Like, I think this is just kind of like timing. It just happened to be like we're recording right now and Matthews had just recently, you know, scored like he had just recently broke the Leafs record, goal scoring record. So I think it's going to be a mute point in a couple of days.
Nope, you made a good point. All right, so we started with the Vezina, then we went to the Norris and the Hart. But let's go back to the Vezina. Who are your guys' ideas, I guess, predictions on who's in the discussion? I want to hear from Anson, because Anson hasn't talked much recently.
Igor, I think that without him this season, I don't think they're, again, it's one of those, like, you take this player out, I think this team is a lot worse. So the same argument that I had for Yossi, I think Shesterkin, with a good old 935 save percentage, 207 GAA, all that, I think he is my Vezina vote.
Jeffrey?
I know he had, like, a little bit of, a, like, a rough stretch a couple, like, a week or two ago, but he's kind of rounded back out into, you know, the guy that week where, like, he's been through the entire season. I think it's his Vezina to lose, I think. Like, I think we all, maybe, like, at the midway mark, we all kind of were saying, like, yes, he's going to win it. Like, I don't know if there's anyone close to him, per se. Like, maybe you look at a guy like Freddie Anderson, maybe. Maybe you look at a guy like UC Saros. But I think Shesterkin, like, he has been the best goalie from the beginning of the season to now.
No, I agree with you. I think it's Shesterkin's. I see the argument to be made with Anderson, though. I think Jeffrey also sees it to a degree. Like, you see the argument to be made. But I don't think it's close, though. Is it like... Anson brings a good point. You remove Shesterkin and put me in there. What does the record for the Rangers look like? You take out Anderson and you put me in there. What do the Hurricanes record look like? Don't get me wrong. They both take a huge nosedive. They take a huge nosedive. But I don't think the Rangers would be doing as well. Like, I think a big part of it, yes, Kreider's having an amazing year. But someone has to save the shots too.
I'm going to point out Anson's point earlier. I think we were both going to say that Rangers and Carolina, if you were subbed in as goalie, they'll both be 0-73.
Well, I was also going to throw in, hey, what about just use their backups in comparison? like, you know, Gorev and whoever is their Kane's backup, not Mr. Olsen.
Don't you know the world revolves around me? But no, you're right. Yeah, it'd be like 0-72. And it'd be like our closest game would be like 45-4. But no, you make good points, right? So at the end of the day, I think I don't think it's really close. I'm going to give you guys a challenge, though. You don't include Shesterkin. You don't include Anderson. Who is your vote go to?
I feel like since the beginning of this conversation, I thought you were just going to be like, wrong, wrong, wrong. It's going to be Cal Peterson or Jonathan Quick, that's what me and Anton thought when we recorded last time. If we don't, like, I already mentioned Saros, so I'm going to stick with that as my, you know, sleeper pick as the third nominee. But I do think it's going to be like either Shesterkin or Anderson.
I'm just going to continue on my track of, if you don't have this player, I think this team gets a lot worse, and that goes to Jakob Markstrom for the Flames.
Damn it, Anson. That's exactly what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
I think there was a small argument to be made for Sorokin and Kemper. Like a really small argument for Kemper, but I'm not a fan of that argument for Kemper because, like, look at what's in front of him. You could put just Justus Anunin back there, it'd be fine. Like, Sorokin has had a quietly really good season. But I think given maybe a year or two, I think he could be up there. He's kind of following the path of Shesterkin to a degree. In a really bad, like, comparison, I guess. But if you look at Shesterkin, this is his third year here. He's gotten better every year. I think he's following the path there, Sorokin. So I'm excited. If I'm an Islanders fan. And that's the best comparison for me. Maybe something a bit more controversial. The Calder. Jeffrey, if I asked this question to you a month ago and you said Cole Caulfield, I would just laugh. I wouldn't even say that. You just hear me laughing. But I think there's a slightly better argument now. I won't laugh, but I'll snicker. Would you consider Caulfield a finalist for the Calder or even win the Calder?
I think that the start of the season affected him too much that I don't think you can call him a Calder nominee. I think, like, obviously, if he had St. Louis as his coach from the beginning of the season to now, I think he'll definitely be in consideration. But at the moment right now, I think there's too many other good rookies right now that he's probably overshadowed as a potential nominee.
Then who are your nominees, your top three?
I think it's got to be like Bunting, Zegras, Seider is my guess. I feel like most, like, two are pretty certain. The third is going to be the one that we are probably going to differ.
Anson?
Well, I picked Zegras to start the season and I'm sticking by him. Michael Bunting has been unreal with the Leafs, especially like the second half recently. Absolute tear on. So Bunting would be in my finalist. And it's actually hard. You got Lucas Raymond, you got Seider. I think you have to go Seider just that he's been a lot better than you would have expected. At least for me, for sure. It's like he played a lot better than I initially thought at the beginning of the season. What about you?
So, my preseason pick, Moritz Seider. So, he has to be on the list. I still think he's the Calder winner. So, it seems like a little bit of if he's a finalist from Jeffrey, if he's a finalist from Anson. But I genuinely think he is the Calder winner. He's a defenseman. Remember that. And at the same time, Bunting has the most amount of points, but he's also, what, 25, 26? Like, I think that affects the voters a little bit since he is 26, right? So, like, that is a bit of a knock. Moritz Seider, defenseman, that's always a plus. So, I don't know if Michael Bunting's even in my top three. It's a spicy take, I know. I think Zegras is on there alone with the magical plays he's done alone. he's on there. And Lucas Raymond's on there, but I would have a spicy take and not include Zegras and put Tanner Jeannot on the National Predators on there as well. I just really want to include him on there. I think he's had a really good year. Underrated year on that team. Anson, what's up?
Yeah, and I get what you mean by the whole bunting thing, but the year that Panarin won it, the other two finalists were Shane Gostisbehere and a good old Connor McDavid.
How old was Panarin, though?
Like 23 or something.
Sorry, how old?
I want to say like 23. It was 2015, 2016. So that was what? 7, 8 years ago?
Well, I think 23 is a lot more palatable because you'll see a lot of guys, their NCAA careers end at 21, 22, and then they come in, right? So that's a lot more palatable because it's just like, oh, it's just like if a guy was a senior signed from NCAA and just tore up the next year after. So I think that like for a lot of, especially US voters who follow the NCAA a lot more compared to Canadian voters who maybe follow the CHL more, it's a bit more palatable in that sense. 26, I think for a lot of people is like, okay, your NHL prime is like 26 to like 31, 32. I mean, in my opinion, for goalies different, but skaters, I think about 25, 26 to about 32. Is your prime, maybe 33. So he's technically in his prime and under that definition, right? For a guy like Panarin, no one says your NHL prime is 23. So I think that makes it less palatable. Does that make sense?
No, that's an absolutely fair argument. I just thought I'd like kind of throw it out there because I think the last like quote-unquote controversial Calder one was the Panarin one.
Yeah, no, I've just been sitting here silently. I think you guys make good points. I'm just really hoping we don't talk about the Lady Bing next, please. Like, can we move on? I feel like we've had enough trophy talk. Let's wait until the season's over before we talk about trophies. But yeah, let's not talk about the Lady Bing, please. I don't want that to be the next trophy we had to discuss about.
So the Bill Masterson Trophy.
The Jennings.
All right. So trophies are one thing, Hall of Fame's another. Is Ryan Getzlaff a Hall of Famer? Yes or no, rapid fire. I don't want to hear explanations till later. Jeffrey?
Yes.
Anson?
Yeah.
Jeffrey, why?
I thought you said you were listening to it a little bit later. I think this is too quick.
This is later. Later is once Anson replies. Jeffrey?
I think given his accomplishments, I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I think that, you know, over 1,000 points, over 1,000 games. He's won a cup. He's won a gold medal. I think that, is he part of the triple, what's it called? The triple whatchamacallit, winning, like he's got Olympic gold.
The triple gold.
World championship and a Stanley Cup. I think he's on that group, but like, the thing is like, he's only been All-Star, I think, 1 year, though, which kind of puts me off a little bit. Like, I thought he would have been an All-Star more often than that, but when I realized he's only been All-Star, like, once, it's kind of throwing me off. But I still believe, like, he's not going to be, like, a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I think, like, he'll reach the Hall of Fame eventually.
I will give you this, though. He's a three-time All-Star, 2008, 2009, 2015. 2013... I think he was injured because he had an 87-point season in 77 games. I think he might have been injured around for the All-Star game. And he was on the NHL's second All-Star team. So I think maybe it's the second team. I don't know. Don't fully know that. Anson, why is he a Hall of Famer?
Well, like what Jeffrey said, I think the hardware really helps with the whole, like, the championship, the Stanley Cup win, the Olympics in Vancouver and Sochi, and even in World Juniors, like he won gold, he got silver, like he's got a bunch of hardware. I think the fact that he is a career duck really helps. Like, you don't see that really anymore, right? Like, a player who sticks with the team his entire career. And I think Getzlaff is kind of retiring on a high. Like, he doesn't want to be third or fourth line and then just kind of go in the sunset. He's kind of still in a top six. We're in a rebuilding ish Ducks team. He's like, okay, you know what? He's handing off the reins to the other guys. I think that's a bit of a, like, it's on his note. He's choosing to retire. He is, I want to say he is the all-time points leader for the Ducks. Like, stuff like this, I think it kind of helps with the whole voters thing in terms of him being in the Hall of Fame.
So I guess follow-up question for Jeffrey. Jeffrey, you've talked about on this podcast in the past how important it is to you for players to be, like, how much nicer it is for players to be career lifers with certain teams. Does Ryan Getzlaff being a lifer with the Ducks make his case that much stronger in your mind?
Yeah, I would agree with Anson there. Like, I think being a lifer really, really helps. Like, it makes you seem more of like, I don't know, like, it makes you seem like you're a higher individual than someone who plays for multiple teams. Like, I think, and being like the captain there for so long, I think helps as well. Like, I think you rarely see non-captains hit the Hall of Fame, I would say. Like, I don't know. Like, to answer your question, yes, I would agree that, you know, him being a lifer with the Ducks is going to help his case to be in the Hall of Fame.
Like, I think on my personal opinion, I think the last generation considered Teemu Selanne or Paul Kariya Mr. Anaheim Ducks, right? The current generation, I think a very, very small subset may consider Corey Perry Mr. Anaheim Ducks. But I'd say the vast majority would consider that to be Getzlaff. And I think the next generation will be John Gibson, if he plays all career there. But I think when you look at a team and go, who is Anaheim Ducks, you think of Getzlaff. And I think that really helps with the voting process. His numbers are not as pretty as maybe some other players are, right? Like, at the end of the day, you know, he only scored 200 something goals. You know, he was in the penalty box a lot. You know, like, that's just how his game was, right? I don't think that's an issue. But the numbers aren't as pretty as maybe some other players are, but the fact that he played that one team, I think, makes a big deal. Holy crap, we are in unison for so many things today. Shesterkin, Getzlaff. Like, we are having a boring-ass episode. Matthews being almost S-tier. Jeffrey?
I'm just really surprised you were able to bring it all back together to, like, how talking about, you know, Getzlaff doing this all with, like, one team, you know, like, who's, like, the all-time greatest Duck, and bring that back. Like, we talked about Matthews being, like, is he the all-time greatest Leaf? And somehow we brought this full circle, basically. This entire pod has just been, you know, one topic after the other, and it's brought us back to the very beginning, almost.
I almost brought my B game today.
now your S game?
S game don't come that often. So with that, before we wrap it up with our random question of the day, is there anything you guys want to talk about?
I'm just kind of browsing the site for all-time Ducks leaders and, like, points and everything. So number one in penalty minutes is Corey Perry. Two is Getzlaff. Can you guess who number three is?
Sorry, number one is Corey Perry. Number two is Getzlaff, you said?
Yeah, it is penalties.
Oh, penalties.
Yes.
See, I'd say Pronger, but he was only with the Ducks for not a, like, very short amount of time.
Yeah, he's not on that list.
This is definitely wrong, but a part of me wants to say Rob Niedermayer.
Also not on that list. Jeffrey?
I don't know why. I want to say Jared Bull.
I think you're thinking of the Jackets.
Did he play for the Ducks?
He did, but I don't think as long.
Okay.
But anyways, number three is George Parros.
You mean head of Department of Player Safety?
That is correct.
I guess, how many years did he play with the Ducks?
I would say six, and he's got 812 penalty minutes.
I guess the longevity's there, right? So And it was also a time in the league where it's just like, it's okay. 200 penalty minutes gets you a bonus. Anything else you want to talk about for my random question of the day?
Nope. I'm all good.
Jeffrey?
Yes.
Is cereal a soup?
I would like to defer my answer to Anson first.
Anson, is cereal a soup?
No.
Why not?
I get where you're coming from. I kind of associate soup with to be heated, right? Cereal, I don't know about you, I eat cereal with like cold milk as opposed to hot milk. So that's kind of my difference.
Is gazpacho a soup then? It's a cold soup.
Sure.
Then why isn't, you know, gazpacho's cold?
I'll be honest, I don't think I've ever had that, so it doesn't really matter to me.
Okay, fine. What other cold soups are there? I agree with you. Most soups are hot, but like I feel like there's a lot of cold soups.
I get where you're coming from. I just that's my kind of separation between the two there.
All right, Jeffrey, is cereal a soup?
While we were listening to Anson fumbling around to figure out an answer, I was kind of taking a look at what would be like the definition of what soup would, because I think that's what we look at, right? Like how do we define, like, this is like back to our hot dog is a sandwich, right? We need to define what something is, and to me soup involves like cereal is mainly what, like milk and a carb, right? Like wheat or like a grain, right? Soups, I find, like, yes, they have a liquid, but like oftentimes the filling part is like a meat or a vegetable, which I don't think cereals have oftentimes. So I'm going to lean towards and saying that a cereal is not a soup because it's just like it's a grain. It's not like a meat or a veggie base.
So if you make instant noodles, just instant noodles, does that not count as a soup? The liquid at the bottom of just instant noodles.
Now, do you drink that?
Some people do. I personally don't because I think that's just a salty mess, but people do.
I would say no because the intention isn't to drink it. Like soup is your intent. Like even cereal, right? Once you're done all the cereal, do you always, I know some people don't finish the milk, right? Like they've had their cereal. The milk is kind of as like, I don't know. It's like a, not I don't want to call it a side dish, but the milk is kind of there to be eaten with the cereal, but you're not going to eat you're not going to drink the remaining milk after you've done your cereal, right? Like soup, you drink the entire thing. And like with instant noodles, with soup, you're not going to drink the full bowl most of the times, unless you're crazy and want MSG.
I drink the full bowl. It's milk, sir. Yeah, I drink the milk, not the thing. I guess my next question would be, is cereal a porridge?
See, like, the thing is, I guess if you put cereal milk long enough, it does become porridge. Where I work, like, oftentimes they get an option for, like, a hot cereal or a cold cereal, and, like, they consider hot, like, a hot cereal, like, anything from, like, cream of wheat to, like, oatmeal and, like, porridge, like, but that's not really hot cereal. Like, I think porridge is, in itself, something completely different from cereal. I think it's just that they're both morning meals is the big difference.
14-year-old Dawson would disagree with you. Cereal is for every meal. You don't want to make dinner? Cereal. You come home from school and you're hungry, you don't want to make anything? You eat cereal. Cereal is an any time of the day meal.
No, I would agree with that. But I for you, I don't think it was limited. Stopped at 14. I think it continued on for a couple more years after that.
Hey, man. Sometimes, wake up late. On the weekend, 12 or 1, I'll eat cereal or a snack, middle of the workday. Don't have time to make anything. I'll grab myself a bowl of cereal. Hell yeah.
I will say I do eat cereal for dinner, but that's because it was like if I'm working shift work, then obviously before I go on for a night shift, I would eat quote unquote breakfast at the same time as some people would eat dinner. So I'm agreeing with you. I still eat cereal technically for dinner.
Yeah, get off your moral high horse. Anson, is cereal a porridge?
I don't think so. I kind of associate, again, cereal by itself. Whereas I think porridge, I think has a thicker layer. Where like Jeffrey kind of mentioned, I think you put it long enough, yes. But, you know, if you're pouring it and then you eat it immediately, no, I think cereal is a cereal and porridge is a porridge.
Anson, have you ever had porridge before? I'm questioning you right now because I don't know if you understand what's happening.
But like, if you put it, it kind of melts. It gets thicky. It gets thicker. I think it's that's the difference for me.
Have you ever had cream of wheat before?
Let's look that up.
Cream of wheat is like, sorry, old people. It's an old people food.
Like that's porridge. I don't know what if Anson knows what porridge is because I think he just
thinks... Then no. If it's that, then no. Absolutely not.
I think you think porridge is when you leave cereal out in the milk for too
long. No, I'm saying it's like the substance.
Okay, but I feel like oatmeal. I feel like we've all had oatmeal. Right? That's like a very clear indication of what porridge is, right? So I don't know. I'm not going to try to explain it, but cereal is not porridge. It becomes porridge when you put it in for too long, like Jeffrey mentions, but that's not how you intend to eat it, right? So I mean, it's like saying, hey,
it's not,
yeah, it's no. Like, you know when people make like watermelon as like a roast beef alternative, or like cauliflower as like a rice alternative, that doesn't make cauliflower a grain just because you eat it, you know, a different way. So definitely not. I think cereal's a soup. You can have cold soup, a nice cold cucumber soup, or like a gazpacho. Those are soups. Those are cold. Maybe with the whole meat and veggie being included there, maybe that's what defines it. But, I mean, I sometimes add some strawberries to my cereal, right? That's a fruit. That's close enough to a veggie, right? Sometimes I might like add some slices of bananas on there or some berries. Those are fruits. Like, I don't see why that makes any difference, right? So, for me, cereal is a soup.
I love how you said strawberries and bananas are close enough to veggies because they're fruits.
Fruits and veggies aren't like one category, dude.
I'm assuming next week our topic is going to be, is a tomato a fruit or a vegetable?
We're not that predictable, all right? And it's all produce. Fine, you know, I'll do that. It's all produce, Jeffrey.
Fair enough.
And with that, you know, the next week's question is going to be, is cucumber a fruit or vegetable? Is a bell pepper a vegetable or fruit? We'll find out next week. But for that, for this week, let's have our final thoughts. We'll toss it over to Anson first.
Sorry, I was kind of browsing. You mentioned Jared Bull. He's played a lot longer than with the Jackets than he has with the Ducks. Like, significantly longer, to the point where he is the all-time leader in penalty minutes with the Jackets.
In Jeffrey's defense, I did select Rob Niedermeyer, who played like 2 years. Like, Rob Niedermeyer has played 3 years with the Ducks, and he played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years with the Panthers. So, I mean, Rob Niedermeyer played 6 years with the Ducks, but he did play 7 with the Panthers, so 8 years with the Panthers. So cut us some slack.
2 years with the Ducks.
Who?
Bull.
But that's your final thought. Anything else you want to add?
No, I'll spin to Jeffrey.
This was a pretty good episode. It's been a while since all three of us were together. We'll see about next week, Anson. But yeah, I enjoyed having my two co-hosts back for an episode.
LA Kings making the playoffs, baby. Let's go. 8 seed to the champions. 2022. Book it. With that, follow us on BOP_POD, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Bag of Pucks podcast, part of the National Podcast Network. You want to complain about us? You can tweet us at BOP_POD on Twitter. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.